And gamers, trainers, Pokemon, welcome to another episode of Pokemon's Health, Pokemon Meets Men's Health. I'm your host, Roy Flash Gordon, here with our guest today, Victor, aka Hootie. Hootie, what's good?
Hello. Things are going pretty good right now. It's middle of the day. Sun is bright.
Yes. Love to hear it. As always, you guys are enjoying the content, want to connect more with us, there is the Discord, Pokemon's Health Discord. You'll find the link for that in the description. That said, we get things going here. Victor, Hootie, my man, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Let's say how old you are, where you're from, and maybe what you do for a living.
So I'm from Louisville. In my whole life, I'm 26 years old now. Right now, I'm currently in track to hopefully work as an air traffic controller.
Oh, yeah.
And just waiting on that to like get rolling. Like, hopefully that'll be a nice way to maybe buy a house one day.
Yeah, that's what's up. That's what's up. I understand that's a pretty solid line of work. So good luck as you're on the track to doing it. I imagine there's some like certifications and all that sort of stuff you got to deal with.
It's like beyond just like the security checks, medical checks, and all that stuff. There's always stories there.
Yeah. I bet. I bet.
Is indeed, it's like, oh, you do an online class for like a month, and then you go to Oklahoma City for a month. I guess they run you through like months for like just like their various scenarios. But top of the class gets to pick where they go.
Okay. That's always a good incentive.
I was like talking to an HR rep one day. I was like, hey, you know what's going on with this? And she was like, oh, yeah, no. If you're top of the class, you get to pick your location. I was like, give me.
Let me study for real.
A fire was lit in my chest.
Yes, that's what's up, man. That's what's up. So how did you get into Pokemon? Like, where did that start for you?
The earliest Pokemon memory I can recall was like I was maybe 8 years old playing like, God, what was it? Pokemon still on a Game Boy Color at a union meeting for my mom, or as I'm eating, it was like a Christmas party, and the battery on that thing was like gone. So yeah. I was basically speed running to try and beat the game before it would die on me.
Yeah.
And I don't know when it started, but that's the earliest I can remember.
That's what's up. And so I already love that. You can't even remember when you started to like the thing. It's been with you that long. That's dope.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like I like Digimon. I love Digimon.
Yes,
it's the same thing. Like, I don't know when that started.
Yeah, that's what's up. That's what's up. Did you have older siblings or anything that might have been like watching this stuff when you were?
I am the eldest sibling.
Wow, that's even better. That's even crazy.
You know, I am the corrupting influence on my younger sibling.
You're just a baby that was just like, I'm watching this now, and like that was what locked you in. That's what's up. I like it.
I would say probably the biggest impact as far as like media I enjoy would probably be my recently passed uncle.
I understand. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. That man was more like a father to me than my own father.
Got you. And it's important to have those other, you know, male figures for us. You know, often we don't
Exactly.
even get them. Like I grew up in a family full of women who's like, you know, men didn't really stick around for one reason or the other. And I was lucky I had an older cousin that was like pretty solid dude, and also an uncle that was a pretty solid dude. Yeah. So it's like getting it from those alternative sources, super, super big.
It's hard to, and it's also like hard because like society's like, oh yeah, listen to your dad and all that. It's like, but sometimes your dad isn't up to the task, or if your dad isn't there or whatever.
Totally. I feel you there, bro. I feel you there. Well, on the topic of Pokemon again, so how did you start to engage with the community in the way you do currently?
So you're talking like VGC and stuff?
Yeah. And I'm not sure if you do more than VGC, but yeah.
So I've always been a little interested in VGC for the past like several years, like since Sun and Moon. I hadn't actually done any like huge tournaments. I went to like one back then. And in this past year, I suddenly have found thrust with desires for success and like obtaining things.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting experience for me in its own right. And I'm like, okay, I need to go for this. I think I could, like filled with, as my wife would call it, gay confidence. I'm like, I can beat Wolf Glick. That guy ain't nothing. I can take him on.
Hey, it gets you started, man.
It is every bit of audacity I can muster.
Hell yeah.
And of course, so I went to Peoria for my first regional and did pretty good. I got on stream.
Wow, really?
Yes.
Awesome,
I got my booty walloped on stream, but I did get on there
Yeah.
because I was fighting a Rally Factura.
That's awesome. That's so dope.
It was great. Yeah, I was bringing Hisui and Gudra. I was having a great time. Recent favorite pseudo legend, by the way. Just want to say that
Which one?
Hisui and Gudra.
Gudra is your favorite pseudo legend.
Hisuian
Oh, right.
Gudra.
Specifically Hisuian. Got you. I do love its giant shell. That
I
was
know
the
it's like,
first thing that got me.
you know what? You perfected this model. I thought it was great before. I was wrong. You did indeed do better.
You did do better. Yeah, Gumi had a whole ass following when it first debuted, and just to see it flourish to what it's become is beautiful.
I was not original. I hated X and Y.
Really?
Yes.
You wouldn't even look at Gumi?
No. So when X and Y was coming out, I saw, because I remember that was when they released the fairy typing. And I'll be real, I was one of the fairy haters.
Wow.
I was like, what fairy type? What
Because
is
it was
this
a
X?
weird type, or because of what it did to the metagame, and which
Weird
was
type.
like because of weird type. Got you. That's
Yeah,
funny. I
this
loved
entire.
it.
What were you saying?
I said that's funny. I loved it. I felt like it made sense because dark was like kind of a weird type. It's not really element, but I guess like some based on what game you're playing, I guess it is. Like fairy kind of felt like it was in that same kind of like house, and it needed to be some sort of opposite of dark.
It
A
did.
true balance.
Like looking back on it, looking at my adolescence, like, no, I was wrong. And I acknowledge that. But like in the moment, I was like, why not light type or like some like other thing? Why fairies next to dragons and steel types? And I was on a whole, I was on tirades back then.
Feel you. That's what's up. I was wondering if. Well, let's preface it by this. Victor, aka Hootie, I'm gonna say that like too many times today.
You can just say Victor or Hootie, it doesn't matter. I'll respond to both.
All right, beautiful. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna just change it up randomly. So Hootie and I met at the, what was this last one? Indie regional, and we were maybe third round
We were
opponent, second
second round.
round,
I
second
was checking through my
round.
notes.
Yes, that's right. You had just finished the really long game in round one, also.
Okay. I want to know. I did not go into that tournament planning to play a stall team. It ended up being a stall team. My wife landed on this rhythm. And I was like, I promise it's not stall. And then I'm like the last one to finish for the first like four rounds, I think.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I was one of the last ones to finish for definitely the first three. Might have been the first four. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, I can see how your team could go there. Our games weren't by like at a decent pace,
It
but I could see how it could get there.
didn't feel long to me. I'm not watching the time or anything. Also, it's like, oh God, why are the judges surrounding me?
And you want to share what you were running at Indy? So the people
Yes, I'd
have
be
some
happy to.
context. Yeah.
I meant to drop my Pokepaste in a Discord, and please remind me to do that after this.
For sure, for sure.
I was playing Terrapagos Calm Mindset. Nothing original there except I switched out Earth Power for Flamethrower. You know, the usual Incin, Rillaboom. I was running a slightly faster Incin. Not as fast as the really fast one that appeared on stream at one point.
Yeah.
Because I saw someone on stream that had like no HP but like max speed. I don't know if you tuned
Sure.
into that.
If I saw it, but it's wild, certainly wild.
Oh yeah, no, it's kind of wild stuff that gets you into like top eight and whatnot.
Yeah, like that's how it goes. I feel like it's almost necessary to kind of have your thing that's, I know everyone else isn't doing this, but maybe if I just tweak it this way and I can go a
It
long
pays
way.
dividends.
It can go a long way, for real, for real. I think it's the beauty of team building.
But yeah, who else was on my team? Terrapagos, Incin, Rillaboom, Urshifu, Rapid Strike. Speaking of, also, this is my first time playing Urshifu in a tournament.
Nice. That's what's up.
And he did surprisingly well. Like, obviously, he does well, but like, I felt like I was piloting him way better than I should have been. Comfey, who was just the GOAT.
Yeah, it sure was.
Like,
Literally, though, like our game, I had so much fun in our game, and it all came down to that damn comfy. That damn comfy.
people, you either love Comfey or you hate Comfey,
I
and
think
there
I'm
is
closer to hating it.
You're in the wrong crowd, but that's okay.
I'm sorry. For now, I might be playing with some cooking with Zam soon. I think that could be fun.
Please
Could
share
be
that with me.
fun.
I've been wanting to try Zam. Zam looks really fun right now.
Yeah, one of the guys in the Discord just recently got it for me. So I got him Zacian because the whole he had shield, I had sword, one of
Yeah, of
those
course.
things. So just got the hands on the Zam. So excited to play around with it. I just want to
Ooh.
mention the other part of our set that was super fun is when you randomly pulled out the bag of fruit snacks, and I was like, bro, I already got him. And I was like, okay, hit the friendship button. We got a winner. That was like immediate.
So experience I've learned from the past regionals, and not a region I played all the way through. Because, for example, when I went to God, which one was it? Charlotte bailed. I
Oh
bailed
yeah.
like halfway through. I could not do it. It was too many people. The setup was bad.
Yeah.
Wait, actually, wait. Going back to my team real quick before I forget. Ditto was the sixth member.
Yes, the Ditto.
The
Wish I get
Ditto.
to see the Ditto for sure.
Ditto was there for Zamazentus, not for you.
Wow. Tell me about that real quick. I'd love to understand that.
So the basic idea is mostly against like the pretty regular Zamazenta sets, their Terra Water, Iron Defense, whatever. So basically they send out their Zamazenta, gets a little defense boost, and let's hope they do one Iron Defense. All I need is just one. And then I switch in my Ditto, hopefully after doing a party shot with Ensign, if it lived. Knock on wood for that. And that's like, oh, thank you for my plus three defense Zamazenta, which is faster than your Zamazenta. Has all the same stats except for HP. And as a bonus, if they didn't swap out their Zamazenta beforehand, I get an extra defense boost on top of that because I copied the ability. So I'm at plus four, they're at plus three. They're hopefully at Mike minus one attack or something. And then I tear a ghost. And then they can't do anything to my Zamazenta. It is the problem I ran into though with Ditto was it very much relies on the idea that I inherently know how to play Pokemon better than my opponent.
And that's not something to rely on.
It's not. And I think with a bit more practice, I can get even better at that, but I think I need to play more teams. Like get more experience with the various other restricted teams, various other like formats, and then maybe I can really pilot Ditto with, like something like really nasty.
Yeah, man, it's so cool. So cool. I loved your team makeup, and yeah, it was a super fun set. It's not typical that I get to talk, as deeply about someone's team because I'm not typically coming off of a regional that just happened in the last weekend. So it was really cool
It's
that we
true.
get to have this fresh conversation, pretty fresh conversation anyway.
It's true. You're playing a Cali Ice team.
Yep, playing Cali Ice, Pelipper. I brought Dark Urshifu this
That's
time.
right.
Yes. Then the Incineroar and Bridgraff. Yeah, really enjoyed that team. It was a fun one. And it will be my NAIC team or
Makes
very close
sense.
to my NAIC team. May shift a couple things, see if, Rapid Strike just makes more sense. But I really like what the Dark Urshifu brings me. It's a tough, a few tough little parts like that, but
I prefer Rapid Strike only because in your instance, because it is a Incineroar delete button.
True. It sure is.
Doesn't need to be anything more to that,
You're right.
honestly.
You're right. I liked just the, Wicked Blow can delete or really heavily damage just so many things. And I really felt like there were some spots it got me out of
Really?
in that tournament. Yes. Just, not always Wicked Blow, but one of my favorite parts in the tournament. Just poor guy had a Lunala. That Dark Terran to Terra Dark in front of the Urshifu, and I'm just like, bro, you know how free that this Wicked Blow looks that I gotta click close combat, and like just that, and I could have did that, but I honestly couldn't have done that with Waterfu. It would have been a different, decision coming, right? And
I know that felt better.
I just like threatening that much goddamn damage on what feels like a lot or in a lot of what's relevant now too.
And like especially since so like going into the tournament, I really felt like the big players were actually what the top three restrictors were, which was both Kalis and Terapagos.
Yes. Yeah,
And
still outside of, Marina was obviously super cool, but still most of what was used and what was successful, what we thought was going to be.
the prominent VGC like pro analyzer YouTuber whatever posting out there, this is my Rhydon apology video, is so funny.
So good. It's so good. He showed up.
He did, and like I remember seeing those videos, and again, this is my audacity plan. I was like, Miranda does not feel like a B tier Pokemon. It hits so hard, even without electric terrain.
Absolutely. My God, like changing terrains as the Maridon counter seems like, okay, go ahead. That's
Yeah,
good.
but
You have to use that turn to kill it. And if you don't, like, you're still cooked. You're still cooked.
it
It's so tough, but I'm loving it. I feel like Reg G is just so fun, just so much more to learn about it. And just
really.
grateful that there's more little events happening before NAIC to get more of a handle on this before having to get back out there and deal with all the Maridon that's gonna be popping up.
I haven't been on Showdown since the tournament. I'm not gonna lie, taking a little like mental like refresh
Got
myself.
to.
But of course, the pull is a little too strong. And like, even if I don't go to NAIC, I'm still trying to like figure out if that's even possible. Like, I was looking at that choice specs Terapagos. I'm not even gonna lie to you. It see, because I watched the stream afterwards. I don't know if you like stuck around for a second day or watched the stream
Yep,
after.
I did. I did. It was going
And
crazy.
watching the choice specs Terapagos look at that Calyrex ice and go, you're gone off of one move. I can't ignore that because my worst matchups
Absolutely.
were Cali Ice.
Yes.
You were part of the thing I was most worried about.
Yeah, dude, your Terapagos definitely is super threatening, and like seeing it on stream get as far as it did was definitely like it feels difficult to deal with already, and to see someone also like show its offensive capability so thoroughly just was like, damn.
Like
Okay,
the
like I'm
damage is
sticking with the game plan,
there.
I think, but am I sticking with the game plan? Am I gonna find a different restricted? I don't think so, but it got me thinking for sure.
No, definitely. And like I think the first regulation tournament is always gonna be rough. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Peoria was rough, because that was the start of Reg F, I think. This was, of course, gonna be rough to like gauge. You know, who's gonna come out on top? What's actually like the trends? And it's very interesting to see where things go, because of course it's really like aggressive, but will it be by NAIC? What will it be by Worlds?
Plenty of time for it to shift around. This is exciting. Keeps the game fresh, and I'm really enjoying it.
Speaking of Worlds, are you planning to go to Worlds either as a spectator or a competitor?
No, definitely not. It's gonna be a little out of the. I wish, but definitely gonna be, a dream for the future. Gotta save up the money. Like even if I was to go as a spectator, and really what I want to do is go as a competitor. So I think that's gonna be the commitment to, hone those skills, have as much as I need to do that, and figure it out from there for a
Most
future.
definitely.
What about you?
God, no, it's Hawaii.
Right. It's expensive, man. It's
It
expensive.
it's I've been to Hawaii before.
Nice.
My wife's grandmother wanted to take us as like take me and her as like a weird like honeymoon thing. And so the three of us went, and we were at Maui, and my God, everything was so expensive. Just and there's so I don't drink. I just don't. It's not very fun for me. I don't like the taste.
Same.
And if you don't drink, once the sun goes down, there's nothing to do.
No, wow.
At least in Maui. I don't know about like the Big Island,
Yeah.
but
Interesting. Interesting. Well, hopefully they'll have some other locations in the future, more accessible. And it's cool to go to Hawaii for sure. And I would love to
sure.
do it in Japan someday. And I just
Oh my God, missing out
love.
at Yokohama. My God, I saw, I was like, oh my God, I wish I was there.
Yeah.
I want to go back to Japan. Let me in.
All right. We'll play our ways there. We'll play our way there. So, moving on to the topic of masculinity, can I
Yes,
ask,
please.
what's it been like for you experiencing, or better yet, what's it mean for you to be a man? What does it mean for you to connect with masculinity?
So like that's such a weird question for me, because growing up, All my friends are women.
Wow, nice.
All, like all of them, like my core friend group from middle school to now was all women. I've been slowly accumulating male friends through like, oh, I have a boyfriend now. Like, thank you. That's my friend now. Just take that. Thank you. And admittedly, as bad it is, I think there have been a lot of times in my life where I've thought, wow, I feel bad being a man. Not because I've done anything bad, but because it's like you see something on the news or you hear something or it's like some political person or something. And it's like, it's always a man, which sounds bad. And it's been very interesting to kind of navigate. Like, it's kind of like the Wreck-It Ralph thing of like, you are a bad guy, but you are not bad. You know, like you're like, we're not actually like villains per se. And trying to like distance myself from that weird like talk. I'm trying to like not be toxic towards anything or anyone. That can be hard when I'm aware of the world. Some positivity in the form of my uncle. And it's weird to think that he's like the singular positive male role model I have or had. Actually, oh fuck, that hurts.
Oh, hey man, it's okay. It's okay.
And then I don't have another positive male role model to look towards. And also all I can do is kind of like take my own experience and kind of like make it better.
I definitely think that you like referred to is it's not uncommon that we end up just again not having some male role model or having just the one that we're lucky to have, and then however that relationship changes or life goes on, would like if we didn't like have any time to make other bonds that were similar, that we have other men around us that we similarly respect, that like it can be kind of like, what do I do now? And at the very least, I think it's really important for us to just be supported by like guys that we also look up to and respect. And it also helps us be like that, be someone who we would want, like we would respect, and look up to. It's a nice little cycle. I know it's fresh for you having lost your uncle recently, and again, I'm very sorry for that, but maybe it's an opportunity for you to like kind of seek out those kind of nourishing relations, even be who your uncle was to you to somebody, It's
That's actually very funny. So one of our very close friends, former roommate, recently had their first baby. And of course, I'm just like, oh, I'm an uncle. And like the joy for me is immense for that.
Yeah, dude, that's so cool.
And because like I don't honestly have the interest of being a father, but I have the interest of being an uncle.
That's awesome.
Which, as I look at it, kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. Makes perfect sense. Uncles, really, that role is so important, even to someone who has, both their parents active and, healthy in their lives or whatever. It's so important. I am actually an uncle and a big uncle energy.
Hey.
Big uncle energy. It's telling somebody the other day, it changed my life, completely changed. There are two little nieces, three nieces now.
Wow.
One's about to be two. So I always forget, she hasn't been alive as long. So three nieces. Man, just having them in my life has even changed like my relationship to women. Also, just like, oh man, like I want to be like a better dude like out
Yeah, no, I can
here
see that.
because of this, So it's a really like don't discount that role, man. It's like so powerful and like you get to have like a relationship like you have with your uncle, but maybe like just in a different direction. You could be like in this way with guys you also respect, but also downwards and like helping a kid through their life. With a positive, example of,
Exactly.
hey, this is what a guy can look like and can look like this and that and all that stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, like I've always like whenever I like if I see a kid that needs help, and it's happened before where it's like, okay, you look a little lost, do you need help, or like various things like that, and like you want to like help a kid, you want to make them laugh, you want to like because I don't want it to be scary. I think as far as like threatening goes, I have like zero threat level. I get like 1 point for being a man, and then they hear me talk and they're like, oh wait, no, this one's just a marshmallow.
So funny. So funny. You're dope. You're dope as hell, man.
No, and I very much I think it's actually an important thing is like I try to establish very quickly on that I am not a threat. I try not to be angry at things. I try to like be very chill and just laugh a lot. And I think that honestly, like, really, it helps me move through the world in a very positive way.
I think that's amazing. And I do think that there's a lot of people who inherently, specifically fear men and can be a child, can be a woman, can be another identity, like just because of what they have experienced with them in the past,
Yeah,
like the negative
exactly.
experiences that
And
they've had. And it
makes you
can have
feel
nothing.
bad.
Yeah, it makes you feel bad, and it can have nothing to do with you, but walking down the street and you being a man like can trigger something. And to have a concern for just like, I want to be an energy that is non-threatening to people, like I want to be disarming for people. I think that's a really amazing way to move in the world, and it is just sensitive to that fact that people have been hurt by men, and like we're all kind of accountable to it. And there's so many ways that we can help this world be a little bit better for everybody.
It's true,
You've just mentioned.
but yeah, it's very important to me to like try and like keep that energy going through my life, and like it gets easier sometimes.
I think so. I think so too. Have you ever had moments where someone's like, you're not enough of a man because of XYZ? Have you ever had any times where you like felt like you had to live up to some standard like that?
I have had that comment thrown at me. I have had that comment thrown at me. And one of the biggest things that gets that comment thrown at me is I changed my last name. I took my wife's name.
That's awesome.
Funny thing, I thought it was becoming more common because I'm like, oh yeah, no, it's like 2020. Like, come on, guys, we're woke enough. Men are changing their names totally. And I do this, and as I'm like going through the process, like changing it at the bank, changing it like the bills and whatever. My God.
All the people that you have to talk to while doing
I'm getting a headache thinking about it.
that.
I'm still fighting those problems.
Yeah.
I changed my name like 3 years ago.
Man.
And I'm still to this day having who's Victor Magre? Who's Victor Con? I mean, I'm both. And so I took her name, and admittedly, like I'm very vocal to everyone, like, oh, I love my wife. My wife's great. If I get a chance to talk about her, I'm gonna take it.
I could tell when you guys were like before you went into your match. There's so much love between you two. It's awesome.
No, she, you, un until we get, once we get towards the end of a tournament, because she's come with me to every single tournament I've gone to.
Nice.
As the tournament wages on, she gets a lot more tired. She gets a
Of
lot more
course.
overstimulated, which is totally fair.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of, I have a lot of kind words to say about Indianapolis. I have a lot of really great words to say about that regional.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude. Love to hear.
But I'll get right back to that. But like, she'll at least for like the first like six rounds will walk me to my table. She'll walk with me, she'll give me a kiss, she'll go, good luck, you got this, you can win. And for I think back in Peoria, it was one of my opponents looked at me and was like, who's that? I'm like, oh, that's my wife. They're like, where can I find a wife like that? I'm like,
Where
oh, buddy,
they have those,
can't help you.
man, that's so beautiful though, man. That's amazing support.
It is. She has been one of the greatest support. She is the greatest support I've ever had in my entire life.
That's awesome.
No one is more mad at my parents than her.
Really? For what?
Just like how they raised me.
Just being okay.
She
Yeah,
is
got it.
defensive. She is defensive as hell about me and would fight God for me.
That's so cool.
It's great. But yeah, so I changed my name to be her name. She loves her family deeply, and she would never change her last name. And so I was like, I'm gonna change my last name. And I don't want to have separate last names. And I think hyphenated last names are stupid.
It'll just go on forever, right? Or
Exactly, because
they'll eventually drop one. I completely see it. I've always thought, and just like, what if two hyphenated kids like marry and the other one wants to change either of their last names and they just go four names?
what if your kids don't like either name?
Yeah, oh, totally that too. You can mess around with that forever. I feel you.
Exactly. And so I'm like, okay. And so I took her name. scored so many brownie points to their family. You would not believe.
I have an idea. I have an idea. It sounds pretty. It's so dope for you to have done that.
But the amount of looks I've gotten from men who have heard I've changed my last name, it because they always go, "Why would you do that? You're the man." I'm like, "So,
Yep.
it's a name. I'm still gonna be a man at the end of the day. I'm gonna go to bed a man. I'm gonna wake up a man. No matter what my name is, this is me choosing who I am."
Absolutely.
And now, women, of course, complete opposite reaction. It is a they look at me with like one, especially older women. Especially older women, they look at me with like wonder in their eyes. They're like, "You can do that?" Part, I hope it's just like a pure jovial thing and not like a regret thing. Because there's that thought, it's like, do they regret changing their name? Because there's so many people out there who love their families and don't want to change their name.
I think there's a lot of great reason for, like, instead of defaulting to what everyone else does, just because that's what they've done, just because man, and like, and it's really the source of it is this idea of ownership over, oh, your wife, and it's just not like that's just not
God,
the energy, dude. That's just not the energy.
it's not or
Dude, they're in 2024, so why don't we, hey, what are we gonna do with our name? Are we gonna do the hyphen? Great. Am I gonna change it? Great. Are you gonna change it? I'm not gonna assume you're gonna change it. We're gonna make it a conversation instead. Like that is like just so much more free for you and your relationship to do what the hell you guys want to do with it, first and foremost. But also like,
it is.
yeah, but also like, hey guys, we don't have to just do this over and over and over again just because it's arbitrary like reasoning for doing it. And it's certainly like I'm not in the game to own anyone, but like to just love them and like be together and us do what we want to do with our weird little family. Like, come
No, exactly. And like
on.
gender roles, I'd like to think are gone. I know they're not. But like we can evolve, we can do better.
We can totally do better.
You're not
Amazing.
married, right?
Nope, not yet, but one day, that's the goal.
One day.
And who knows what we'll do with the names, but I'm open to whatever. There's another podcast guy who he and his wife just combined their last names, and I always thought that was
Yeah.
really cool. You know, just like took a piece of hers, piece of his, and now they have a whole new name that's gonna go wherever the hell it goes.
In a little Steven Universe thing.
Yes, super dope, super dope. So, Victor, what about any like mental health things that you've experienced or emotional health, we can call it too? Like, have you had any mental, emotional health struggles that you've had to get through or currently work through? And how do you or did you manage them?
Mental health, definitely. Emotional health as well, but like in a different way. I don't think emotional health is like really easy to quantify.
Totally.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But mental health wise, a few years ago, I went to a psychiatrist. And I officially got my diagnosis for autism, as well as ADHD. I was ecstatic. I was having a lot of breakdowns around that time, like just absolute mental breakdowns. Like I was completely unmedicated on everything and not in therapy at the time. I remember one day, I was having an argument with my wife. At the time, I've been a girlfriend. We've been together 10 years. It gets a little blurry when the
I
distinction
bet.
happens. I came out of the argument. I'm like, this is not me. I don't like yelling at you. And like the next morning, I scheduled a like psychiatry appointment to get myself evaluated. Because I'm like, this is not me. I need to get myself fixed up.
It's amazing.
Got diagnosis. Realized, holy shit. This would have made school so much easier. This would make college hot. There was a obviously I can also blame I can't just blame oh my mental illness for all my struggles through life. But I can't deny like, oh, it had a role. And got the diagnosis, went to my doctor, like, hey, look, I'd like some ADHD medication. Got an atomoxetine. It's like a generic pill. Super easy. On 25 milligrams, boom. Bob's your uncle. Quality of life significantly improved. Like, significantly. I feel less depressed. I feel less anxious. My ADHD is more easily weaponized. Can't do about autism, but it's like easier to manage when the other three are managed.
Yeah. That's so cool, dude. That's so cool. And I love that you like have that moment of clarity where you realize separation between you and what was going on inside your head, right? In terms of the, you know, what you needed to medicate and whatnot. And to see like, wait, this is the me I want to be, and this is the me that I like is not like truly
Yeah,
representing
exactly.
who I am in the world. And a lot of people just cannot kind of make that separation, you know? And it's so tough. It's so tough.
It was like a weird moment of clarity. I don't know if I could enter that moment of clarity on command.
Yeah. Oh
If
yeah.
that makes sense.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel you.
Honestly, I'm glad I had to argue with my wife
Yeah.
because it led me to where I am today. It is in a really weird sense. I don't even remember what we were arguing about.
A lot of people say that, you know, I think it's better, more common now, is that arguments is actually a sign of a good sign of a healthy relationship. Like the absence of arguments really is a little bit not that you should be arguing all the goddamn time though.
No,
But
of
all that
course.
to say, I think an argument at the source of it is trying to get to the bottom of something, trying to get to the truth of something a lot of times. And, you know, that in this example, it's like you guys were going through the fire of having to argue about something. And, you know, how whatever the outcome was, you knew that you couldn't keep going on like that, arguing like that, you know, treating your wife and the way that you were treating her. And that was
Exactly.
a beautiful outcome that may not have been intended of that argument.
No, of course not. Of course, I'm sure whatever was going on originally, there was like some other purpose, but in the end, it led to me being a better partner, being a better person, being a better friend, being a better adult, even
Happier.
happier, just straight
Yeah.
up happier.
That's awesome.
Oh yes, I wanted to talk a bit about Indianapolis.
Yeah,
Did you hear some other
tell me.
regionals I've been to?
Yes.
Because I've been to Peoria, I've been to Charlotte, I've been to Knoxville, I've been to Indianapolis. I believe those are my four. And Indianapolis was by far the best region I've been to. Anyone who's listening to this podcast, Indianapolis is worth it.
Yes.
Don't take my ticket, but it's worth it.
I definitely agree with if you're talking like Peoria's venue a mess, and I hate it. Peoria is a place. Charlotte's venue was like fine, but I
I
get
hated
it.
Charlotte.
Yeah, I get that, and I feel that Indy was way better, 100%. Like I feel you on that, like undoubtedly. And I wasn't at Knoxville, but Indy was very nice.
Cramped. It was like a sardine can. They did not have an area really for people who were spectators.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're
So
right.
all the spectators were just chilling on the wall. Unless they wanted to like take up a seat like in front of the stage. And let's be real here. Like moms show up to the thing. I'm gonna say moms, but I mean like parents in general, partners, whatever else, because like people won't travel alone. People got kids and like kids too.
And they got tickets. These people bought tickets. They're not just in there chilling for free.
And then you got like a mom who's like 50 or something. I don't freaking know. I'm throwing a random age there. Just chilling on the floor. And like, you know, that's uncomfortable. And Knoxville got slightly better after about like round five when people started to dip and suddenly there was a little more room. But that shouldn't be the requirement. That venue was
Totally.
way too small.
Got you.
Indianapolis had the comfiest seats.
So good. So good.
Like, I was like,
The
I could take this home.
Kush.
Really good venue, beautiful architecture for Indianapolis, and just a overall great time. I honestly wish I could have explored more, but because my rounds were taking so long, I couldn't explore.
Yeah.
So that's on me.
All your those long ass rounds. I'm sorry.
No, it's my own fault. I had one. I Oh my God, I think one of my funnest rounds was one of those long rounds, and it was I don't even remember what this dude was playing, but he had an Amoongus
Yeah.
and dittoed his Amoongus. I was like, you know, do I really need Comfey when you just gave me a free healer?
Yeah.
Thanks, dog. I'm gonna Paul and Puff my Trapagos. I'm doing the
Yeah.
same thing, just in a different flavor.
Just keep puffing it. Amazing.
It was a lot of fun. People were so nice.
Yeah.
Were so nice. Like my wife, she was just chilling. She was painting her bears. She loves bears.
Yeah.
And people would walk by, kind of glance at her little notebook and be like, that's really cool. And
Yeah.
keep on walking. And you know what? Yes. Compliment her more. Thank you.
He brings it back. He brings it back. No, that's awesome.
The competitors were nice. You were nice. Almost every single person I played was nice or fun. Or I think the lowest raid personality I'd give to any person I fought was one guy in like round three or four. He already has World's Invite, but he was still like talkative and stuff. He was still like friendly. He just, I don't know, was going to grade everybody. And I ran into some people from my own from Louisville.
Oh, wow. That's
Yeah, I
awesome.
like, what are the odds of like, what was it, 600, 700 people or something?
And
I played like
even
three
getting
eighty
to
two in
bump
total.
into them.
And like I played him,
Dope, 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 dope.
kicked his butt.
Even better.
Even better. Like, thanks, buddy. And I finally like got in like a messenger chat with all the other people in Louisville so far that I've accumulated that also play VGC and go to regionals.
That's what's up.
We're finally getting local tournaments that actually reward championship points.
Okay. I wasn't sure how your scene was there. So it's on the up and up.
Yeah, finally. It's part of the reason I wasn't going to tournaments is because like there's no point.
I feel you. You need the locals to be able to really rely on getting enough points
That's
realistically
true.
anyway to get to worlds and stuff. Makes sense.
And hey, if we got to waste the Hawaii Worlds to get to this point, I'm cool with that.
All good. All
Give me the
good.
London. Give me the Japan.
We'll take those. Those are
Give
even
me
better,
India.
honestly. Yes. World's India 2026. I see it now. Not 2025, 2026. They're cooking.
Oh God. Oh my God,
So,
there'll be 2026.
what'd you say?
There will be a 2026. Oh my God.
So funny. We make it there. Let's cross those
Literally.
fingers. So, how has Pokemon contributed to your happiness in all of this?
I would say, in an almost unhealthy way, very positive.
Boy, go.
Just because I have a very fixated personality. It might be the autism. It might be me. Who knows? But it's something I can be very happy about. It's something I can talk about. It's a very positive community. The amount of bad interactions I've had because of Pokemon or around Pokemon might just be on Showdown. I have been called a slur on Showdown,
It sucks.
which, you know what? I probably deserve that, but whatever.
No.
I didn't deserve it, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Like somebody just kicks someone's butt a little too hard and they have to let out a little emotion. It's like, okay, buddy, you have your little tantrum.
Yep.
I'll be here.
Keep it moving. But overall, happy.
There are as many people that have been nice to me.
Yes, there we go. Way more people have been nice, right?
That's true, actually. Yeah.
It's
God, I wish
beautiful.
Digimon could have the scene.
I wish Digimon had the scene too. I don't know what the Digimon scene is like. Last time I played a game was like on PSP and it was fucking amazing. Cyber Sleuth or something. So good. So good.
They dropped Cyber Sleuth Complete Edition on Nintendo Switch. I was like, let's
Oh
go.
man. Trying not to spend money, but yo, after Worlds and I need a little something to play. That might be the move. That might be the move.
If you want to spend your time, just waste your time, play Persona.
Yeah, I love Persona. I do love Persona, and I have not beaten Persona 5, and I
Same.
100% got it again on the Switch, so I could actually.
Same. I was like, man, because I think God, what was it? I think the teal mask might have dropped around the same time or something. Like I was playing Persona 5 Royal. I was like, oh my God, I'm having a great time. And then like the teal mask, I was like, crap.
Oh, you again in like a year, Persona, because this all is what I
Oh
just
God, how many
what I
years has
do.
it been?
This is what I do.
Exactly. You sold like the little crab game,
What's
Another
that?
Crab's Treasure.
Another crab's treasure.
Have you not heard about this?
I haven't.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Wait. Okay. Do you like Elden Ring or like Dark Souls in general?
I like them, but I also was just like, I don't know if I'm gonna put in the time to beat these, you know what I mean? So I haven't played since Dark Souls.
That's fine. That's fine. You might like this. Some indie developer. What was it? Devolver. Digital or something. I actually don't remember. I'm so bad about remembering names like that. They dropped this game on like all platforms, Another Crab's Treasure. And you basically play as this little hermit crab named Krill, and you whose shell's been taken because he's been doing tax evasion. The
Amazing.
game is so funny. Like you get this, like the first character you meet is a loan shark. It's some like you know those little grabby hand things? Yeah, it's one of those. He's just called the loan shark. And he's like, you've been committing tax evasion for like 10 tides, whatever that means. It's like, and Krillin looks at me and goes, what's a tax? And like, there's so many crab puns, and they're very in depth with the types of crabs they use. There's a pistol shrimp at one point that you fight. There's in the same area, there's this weird type of crab. It's like called a, I don't remember. It starts with an H, but its whole deal is like natural selection has bred it so that it looks like a human face.
My God.
Because when people would hunt it, they'd be like, this thing looks kind of like a human.
I'm gonna leave him
No.
alone. Yeah.
And
Amazing.
those ones, of course, are bred. And so there's just a bunch of crabs that look like that. And so one of the bosses is that, and it uses its weird back as like an attack.
Jesus.
It,
This
it
dope.
it's so good, and it is very inclusive to people who are not good at Souls-likes. Like bring enemy health down, you don't lose microplastics, I believe it's called in the game.
So fun.
It's like an environmental message, it's got like an anti-capitalism message, it's got all these little things. It's like this hopeful message, because like all Dark Souls kind of have this like weird hope to them if you look deep enough. It's and I've always loved that, like even in this really dark world, here's a character that still has the hope to make things better or to rise above.
That's what's it. That's and I feel like there's so much of the that good stuff in video games, which is why I think it's such a cool thing to try to like let's connect over our video games about mental health sort of deal, right? Because there is this level of hope, you know, like the hero is there as a symbol of hope, and you know are often engaging with that hope, and how we can just look at our lives like that too is pretty cool.
Exactly. Or if I like Persona 5.
Yeah, absolutely.
I watched the anime way before I played the game. I was like, oh my God, this is speaking a message that I am adhering to. Let's go.
Let's go. And speaking of hope, that brings us to a last question of the
Yes,
podcast.
please.
Yeah, and it's if you knew there was a homie out there struggling, what if you had one thing to say to them, what might that thing be to help them get through the day?
Hey, man, if actually, in quotations, because this is what I'd be saying to them. You need a place to stay. My house is always open to you. And I might not be able to help in every way that you need, but I'm here for you.
That's beautiful. That goes so far. The open space and space to like support both physically and like emotionally, just be there. That's awesome. Victor, dude, I really appreciate that.
No, of course. And like, I think it's also important to acknowledge, like, you can't always support. People need different things from different people. And that can be hard for some people to grasp. But it's like, even if you are helping somebody, you might not be what they need in that moment. They might need to, I don't know, go play laser tag. They might need to just be left alone. Or they might need, honestly, just to be held. You never know.
Never know. Dude, this is really fun. It's really great to get to know you a little bit deeper from just hanging out at the tournament. So super dope.
No.
I really appreciate for you being here and sharing your experience with the people.
Honestly, I'm happy to join in. I'd be happy to join another podcast. I think it's been a delight.
Of course. Of course.
I don't know how long you've been podcasting for, but I'm always happy to help out on somebody's journey towards like, just like bringing themselves up a little higher, you know?
Yeah. Heck yeah. Heck yeah. This is the third time I've done a podcast. This is the longest running one, getting to like we're at like 25 episodes or something like that. So I'm enjoying it, you know, connecting with people just about their experiences, about their mental health, about Pokemon and how, you know, it's fit into their life is something I'm having a blast doing. So thanks for being part of the journey, dude. And I hope to see you at a
Of
regional
course.
again. And hopefully we do some more battles. We got plenty more coming. And hop on stream sometime too if you want to, you know, hang out there.
Yes, of course I would. Yeah, drop those in the Discord. Let me know.
You got it, baby. All right, folks. Victor, thanks for joining. We'll talk soon, dude.
Talk to you later.
And another one. Oh man, really enjoyed that one with my guy Hootie, aka Vince, which I'm gonna do every single time for the rest of our lives since there's another Hootie. But that was a really fun conversation, and what I really appreciated about Hootie was just seeing all the love that he had for his wife. When I saw them in person, just unabashedly around loving each other. She walked them right to the table, big hug, big smooch, big affirmation that he was gonna do well and play well. And I just thought that was so super cool. And just hearing their story and how he decided to change his name. I just think there's a lesson there for all of us, and that this whole masculinity thing, that we need to do things because other people did things, and all the, like, for years and years and years, for millennia, like, men were men a certain way. And I'm like, guys, we don't have to do that. We can evolve, and we can do what we want to do with our life. And he decided to do something that was going to make his wife feel good, that meant more than a name, which honestly is not going to mean shit at the end of the day. But right now, what makes him and his family whole is to make the decision they made and to do that together. Just a ton of respect for Hootie, and a ton of respect for everyone who's choosing to do life how they like to do life, as long as they aren't hurting anybody else. And just want to preach that so much. So much for all of us. And I pride myself on trying to do life that way. And it's been everything the more that I've decided to choose my path as opposed to walking paths that were already worn down and not really working like a lot of people are having to do. That said, I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I enjoyed recording it for you. Looking forward to next week. Talk soon.